Your Bibles, you can go on over to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, and of course, next Sunday is our final Sunday school before for our summer break, and I think it is actually ending right at a good break point where we finish up the story of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and his wife and this account and this story. But this morning we continue through, and as we've been looking at here the last several weeks, this account has been one of faith, of both having faith in God and what God says, but also looking at the faithfulness of God, that when he says something, he's going to do exactly what it is that he says he's going to do. And so this morning, we're going to look at the fact that Abraham, he now sends his servant to now find the bride for his son Isaac. And so that's what we want to see here this morning from Genesis chapter 22. And so we'll start, as we always do, with some of the context and what's going on here in our scripture references. And so the very first thing we see there is that Abraham instructs his servant. Abraham instructs his servant. And so you're there, Genesis chapter 24. And who would like to read there verses 1 through 4? Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. Brother Kenny, go ahead.
And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac.
All right. Thank you there, Brother Kenny. And so we see here, Abraham, he begins to instruct his servant here where to go ahead and find a wife for Isaac. Because I'm guessing, you know, back during this time, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have any dating apps. They didn't have Twitter or Facebook or any of that. And so, you know, you had to be a little more selective. You had to be a little more persistent in finding your spouse back then. But so we see he gives this instruction to his servant to where to go and find this wife for Isaac. And then in verses 5 through 8, we see that Abraham answers his servant's question, because, of course, the servant, you know, he's going to ask some questions about this. And so now we see those questions. Who'd like to read there verses 5 through 8? Genesis 24, 5 through 8. Miss Martha, go ahead.
Genesis 24, 5 through 8. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of thy kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before me, and thou shalt take a wife unto him my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again.
All right. Thank you. His mother. So again, we see the servant has some questions, and you notice there, especially verse 5, he says, basically he asks the question, well, what if the woman's not willing to follow me? What if she's not willing to come back with me into this land? And then he asks about the son, and do I need to bring the son? And we'll see more about that here and why that's significant. But then verse number 9, we see that Abraham's servant, he vows to accomplish the task. And who'd like to read there verse number 9, chapter 24 and verse number 9 this morning? Kitty, go ahead.
And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swear to him concerning that matter.
All right. So we see here, he, you know, Abraham, he sends his servant to find this wife. And, you know, I love this entire account. I love this entire story. And there are just some things that I see kind of parallel to our day, and especially here in verse number 9. You know, you ever get together, you know, with a group, you know, a group of guys, maybe when you were single or whatever, and you know that they might be egging you on to say, hey, you know, go ask that girl out, or you know, go ask her on a date, or ask her to go with you to the movies or something. And you're thinking, and you say, oh no, you know, and they just keep egging you, and then you finally say, you know what, I'm gonna go ask her out, and she's gonna say yes. And you know, then never mind the fact that if she says no, you come back, you know, kind of with your head down or whatever the case may be. But I get that same feeling here, you know. Abraham says, okay, this is where you're going to go. Find your spouse. This is where you're going to go. Find your wife. And the servant has some questions. Well, what if she doesn't want to be my wife? What if she doesn't want to? You know, because that's a very real question guys have, you know. You might be interested, but she might not be interested back. And, you know, now the servant says, you know what? I'm going to do exactly what it is you say concerning, I'm going to get her to be my wife. And so, again, I just see some parallels there. But so we see Abraham, he instructs his servant. And then secondly, we see that the servant now meets Rebecca. Who'd like to read there verses 10 through 14? Genesis chapter 24, verses 10 through 14. Miss Sue, go ahead.
And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia into the city of Nahor, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master.
All right. Thank you there, Miss Sue. And so we see here the servant, he goes here and he starts by praying by the well. But again, I just see parallels to our day. You notice there where it says there, verse 11, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening. That's what it says. Even the time that the women go out to draw water. So the servant, he had some intel of when the women were going to be there. And so he just so happens, well, I'm going to be there when the women are going to be there. And then, you know, you want to impress a girl, you know, especially if she might be a fellow Christian or a fellow believer or whatever. What's the best way to do it? You know, you stand by a well, you start, you know, praying, you know. And so she comes by, she sees you praying, she thinks, oh man, there's a spiritual guy. I want to get to know him. And you know, I remember when Man and I first started talking, I gave her my phone number for prayer requests. That's what I really said. I said, hey, you know, let's exchange phone numbers for prayer requests. And you know, not knowing, or she probably knew I had an ulterior motive, but you know, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like some of those Christian pickup lines, you know, it's like, hey, I'm reading my Bible and I can't find the book of Numbers. Can I have yours? And, you know, so, you know, you can do some of these things, pick some of these ladies up. Not all the guys in here.
Are you picking up?
You didn't hear that one? Yeah. And I realize all the guys in here are married, so don't use any of these lines unless. Okay, let moving on. So then, so the servant, he's praying by the well, and then we see Rebecca. She comes, she draws water for the servant and for his camels. And who'd like to read there verses 15 through 20? Genesis 24, verses 15 through 20. Katie, go ahead.
And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah and wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels.
All right. So then we see here, she does as the servant had prayed. And now Rebekah tells the servant just exactly who she is. Notice there, if you would, verses 21 through 25, the Bible says that the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hand of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, if there is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And I love that phrase there, especially in verse 23, the question that the servant has, "Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And again, as we get more into the story, we're going to see how this story is a typology. It's symbolic of us as the bride of Christ. And to answer the question, "Is there room in thy father's house?" Well, there's always room in the father's house. There's always room for more and more and more and more, if they'll just come to trust Christ as their Savior. And so we see that there. And so Rebekah tells the servant who she is. And then in verses 26 and 27, we see that the servant worships the Lord. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And so we see he finds out very quickly that yes, this journey that he has went on, according to Abraham's command, it is going to wind up being prosperous. And so then we see there in verses 28 through 53 that the servant meets Rebekah's family. And just for sake of time, we're not going to take the time to because we have to get all the way through verse 67, but I encourage you to read all of these verses as you go home today sometime before you go to bed tonight. But we notice there in verses 28 through 33 that Rebekah's brother invites the servant to stay with him. In verses 34 through 48, the servant tells Rebekah's family of his mission. In verses 49 through 53, Rebekah's family agrees now to give her away in marriage, to give the servant her hand in marriage. And then in verses 54 through 61, Rebekah goes with Abraham's servant, and she agrees to go with the servant. So that question that the servant had there in verse number 5, well, what if she doesn't want to come back to the land? Well, Rebekah is in agreement. Rebekah says, "All right, I'm going to go with you back to where it is you're from." And the servant there in verses 59 through 61 returns to Abraham with Rebekah. And then finally, in verses 62 through 67, down through the end of the chapter there, we see that Isaac and Rebekah, they finally marry. And so let's we'll read there verses 62 through 67, just to kind of bookend the account here. But Genesis 24, verses 62 through 67. The Bible says, "And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lehi-Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, 'What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us. And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after her mother's death. And so we see here Isaac, he sees them approaching. Rebekah sees Isaac, and the servant tells Isaac the whole story of what has transpired up to this point. And then we see there that Isaac marries Rebekah. And then there in John chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says, But as many received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so again, we see here Isaac is taking for himself this bride. And we see here just how it relates to the Lord Jesus Christ, just how it is a symbol, it's a typology of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are several thoughts that we want to see from this account. The first thought this morning is that God chose you to be a part of the bride of Christ. God chose you to be part of the bride of Christ. You know, again, this story, it's very symbolic. It's very, it has with it a very rich typology, because Abraham, you know, you realize that Isaac keeps referring to Abraham as what? His master. And so Abraham is a representation of the Heavenly Father, being the master. He's God the Father in this story. Isaac, he is a picture of God the Son. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the typology of Lord Jesus Christ here in this account. And then the servant who is sent out to find the bride, that is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. So here in this account, you have the Trinity. You have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so God's Spirit is what is choosing the bride for Christ. And he's very careful with his choosing. It's a very important choice. It's a very deliberate choice on the part of the servant. So Rebekah, she is a representation of the church, Christ's bride. We know in the New Testament, the Bible talks about how husbands were to love our wives as Christ also loved the church and gave his life for it. And so this Rebekah, she is this representation. She is the typology of the church. So here in this account, you have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You have the bride of Christ, the church. And so all of these things are pointing to things that are going to happen in the New Testament. And so, you know, we think about the fact this morning that we're saved. We think about the fact this morning that we're Christians, that we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. And the truth is this morning that you are saved. It says that you were chosen by the Holy Spirit of God. You were, you did not just happen to get saved. You didn't just wake up one morning and say, or thought, okay, this morning I'm saved. I know I'm saved. No, you are not just an extra. You're not just an outsider. You were selected by God to be his son's bride. You were selected by God when he sent his son to die on the cross. And by you receiving that free gift, you became the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here that God chose you to be a part of the bride of Christ. Now, we have to be very careful with that type of wording. We have to be very careful with that type of terminology, because there are certain doctrines out there that'll take this account and they will use it to say, well, this is proof that God chooses who's going to heaven and who's going to hell, and we have no choice in the matter. But that's not true. You and I had that choice. You and I had that opportunity. Are we going to accept Christ, or are we going to reject Christ? And so, again, we have to be very careful with the wording. But then secondly, we see that God has your future perfectly planned. God has your future perfectly planned. Notice there again, Genesis chapter 24, and notice there, if you would, verse number 7. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 7. The Bible says, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give thee this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." So now, remember, this verse comes after the first six verses. It comes after Abraham's instruction. It comes after the servant's questioning, well, what if she doesn't want me? What if she doesn't accept me? What if she doesn't want to come back to the land? So on and so forth. And then we see here that Abraham the father, who is a representation, he says, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and swear unto me, saying, He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." So here's what Abraham is basically telling the servant. He's saying, listen, I understand your questions, but the same God that told me to do this, and the same God that led me to do these things, he is the same God that is going to lead you. He is the same God that is going to take care of you. He is the same God that is going to make a way for you. And so we see here that Abraham trusted God to provide the wife for Isaac, because that's what God had instructed. That's what God had promised. And Abraham had learned up to this point, Abraham had already learned that God takes care of every detail. And all we have to do is trust God to take care of every detail of our life. All we have to do is, you know, so many times we get into this rut sometimes. We have the evidence of God working in our life in the past, but then the present happens, or something we see coming up in the future, and we start belly aching and moaning and complaining. And listen, I understand it, because it's human tendency. It's human nature to, especially if we can't control something, to, you know, to fret about it and to, you know, whatever the case may be. But we have to remember that, well, if God took care of us in the past, he's going to take care of us in the present, and he's going to take care of us in the future, because that's just the type of God that he is. And so we see here he has our future perfectly planned. Listen, we don't know what's coming. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what next week holds. We don't know what next month or next year holds, but we know that there's a God that's already in that tomorrow. We know there's a God that's already in next week and next month and next year. And so we have to realize this morning that God has our future perfectly planned. But then number three, and this is an important one, do not force others to operate on your faith. Do not force others to operate on your own faith. Notice there again, verses 5 through 8. Genesis chapter 24, verses 5 through 8. The Bible says, "And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto thy son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again." And so we see here that Abraham, again, he believed with all of his heart that God would lead the servant to the right woman, and that the right woman would be willing to help Isaac. Well, the servant naturally had his doubts. And Abraham says here, he says, he didn't say, well, hey, just trust me, she will follow you. Just trust me, just take me at my word, it's all going to work out. No, that's not what Abraham said. Instead, he put the servant's mind at ease by saying, hey, listen, if she doesn't follow you home, then you're going to be free of your oath. You're going to be free of this covenant. You're going to be free of this promise. And so we see here again throughout the scriptures that God teaches us to walk by faith. God teaches us to not walk by sight. But he also teaches us that those who follow us, they do not necessarily always have our same level of faith. Because we're all at different journeys. We're all at different spots and places in our Christian walk. And so your faith might be stronger than my faith in certain areas, or my faith might be stronger than your faith in certain areas, and that's okay. Because at the end of the day, it's still the same God overall. And we must, and when that happens, you know, we need not to belittle them, we need not to rebuke them, but instead we should just seek to encourage them. We should use it as an opportunity to help build their faith, because by the time the story ends, we see that the servant's faith was strengthened, because everything that Abraham had said had come to pass. And then number four this morning, we see that God knows how to lead you into his plan. God knows how to lead you into his plan. And we see that there in verses 11 through 26. The servant had done everything he knew what to do. He did everything possible that he knew that could be done. And when he could do no more, he relied on God's direction. That's very important. Listen, you and I, we have our part to do. We have our part to play. And we ought to seek to do what we are supposed to do with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and do it well. But there's going to come a time when there's just nothing else left to be done. And that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, because we always want to be able to do. But at times there are going to be things we can't do. And it's at that time we have to step back and say, all right, you know what? Now's the time. I'm going to rely on God, and I'm going to rely on God's direction. And God, again, we see it. He led him perfectly. He didn't lead him astray, didn't lead him off course, didn't lead him anywhere that he didn't need to go. And so God knows exactly how to lead you, and we need to rely on his direction. And then fifthly and finally this morning, we see that the best way to be led of God is to be busy for God. The best way to be led of God is to be busy for God. Notice there, final portion of scripture, Genesis 24 and verse 27. Genesis 24 and verse 27. The Bible says, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." You know, the truth this morning is that God does not lead those who just wait on the sidelines. He does not lead people who are not, quote unquote, in the game. God leads those who are in the game, that they're busy working for him. They're doing everything they can to contribute to his work. And you notice that statement there again that the servant says. He says, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me." That's one of the best pieces of wisdom that we can ever find, or how to find God's perfect will for our lives. We look at that phrase and it says, "Oh, he was in the way." No, he was doing exactly what God told him to do. And the best way to be led of God is to be doing exactly what God tells us to do. Again, sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. But there is nothing better than serving the Lord. There's nothing better than serving God. And we see again, all of the plans came to fruition because, again, they did so. They went and they did so by faith. And then the God who promised, he was faithful to keep his promise. And so, again, we see that here this morning. And so, again, next week, we'll finish up this story of Abraham. And then we'll take a short break for the summer months. And so, Brother Kenny, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?